Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
So, hello, everybody. We are going to be talking about love and relationships today, and I'm going to have you do a quick poll and ask you, where are you on the love meter with your significant others, whether that's with your spouse or your children? In this case, we're going to be talking mostly about your spouse or partner. But where are you on the love meter? Are you feeling deeply in love, the same amount of love maybe that you had when you first got married? Or are you feeling like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling a little bit irritated today with my partner? I was just talking to Arielle Ford, our current guest today on Fired Up with CJ, who is the author of Wabi Sabi Love, and telling her that I'm a little bit irritated with my husband today. So it's perfect that I have this show to introduce an idea so that I can kind of renew my love for my husband. So welcome, Arielle.
Thank you, CJ. Yeah, good timing. If you're going to have a breakdown, let's get it fixed.
Exactly. Let's try to do it in the next half hour, okay?
It's easy.
All right. So I loved your book. Tell me, introduce folks to the whole idea of wabi-sabi love.
Well, wabi-sabi is an ancient Japanese aesthetic that honors all things old and worn and weathered and imperfect and impermanent. And it seeks to find beauty and perfection in imperfection. So imagine you had a big vase with a crooked crack down the middle of it. The Japanese would fill the crack with gold, and then they would place the broken vase on a pedestal and shine a spotlight on the crack. So wabi-sabi love is about learning to find the beauty and perfection in your own cracks, and especially those of your significant other.
And so in your book, you talk about a lot of different ways to apply the art of wabi-sabi or to see the beauty in the imperfections. When you think back, you know, because when you wrote this book, what's your favorite story that kind of still impacts you today?
Oh, one of my favorites is the stories of my friend Diane and Jerry. And Jerry has an addiction. He's addicted to poppy seed bagels. Every morning he gets up, he goes in the kitchen, he slices his poppy seed bagel, which immediately sends thousands of little black poppy seeds scattering all over
the
white tile floor, right? And then he toasts his bagel and he puts on his cream cheese and he walks around the kitchen eating his bagel and dropping more poppy seeds. And Diane starts every morning on her hands and knees in the kitchen with a wet paper towel, wiping up these zillions of little black poppy seeds. And most days it's not an issue for her, but one morning she was in a bad mood, and while she was wiping up the poppy seeds, she had this thought, like, what would it take to never have to wipe up these freaking black poppy seeds again? Which was followed by the thought, oh, that would mean Jerry's no longer with me. And she began to cry, and she got off the floor, and she ran into the other room to give him a big hug. And from that day forward, every time she was wiping up the poppy seeds, her heart would swell with love for Jerry, because it meant she had another day to spend with him.
So beautiful. That, you know what? They're my two favorite stories in the book. That's one of them. And here's why. That, first of all, it's a beautiful story. And second of all, I have piles of little equivalents of poppy seeds all over my house. I've lived with three men. And you know what? In my case, it's my son who seems to feel like he can leave his stuff all over the house. But when I've reframed it as, oh, this is just, you know, I'm going to miss when the kids leave and go to college. That's my like saddest moment ever when I think about that. But then I look at all these like little pieces of paper and backpacks and I think, oh, that's them. That means that they're in this house and I love them and they're in my life. You know, that's completely that one little story that you had.
Yeah, good for you. That's the shift in perception that has to happen because, you know, whether they're squeezing the toothpaste from the middle or, you know, leaving their socks on the floor or like my husband does, every time he walks into a room, he turns the TV on really loud. And then, you know, he forgets about it. In fact, I came home one day. There were 4 televisions on in the house, all of them really loud. And he wasn't even home. And it used to annoy me. And then when I thought, well, what's the wabi-sabi solution to this? I thought, oh, easy. God invented remote controls just for me. All I have to do is go around and hit the power off button. You know, it's not his problem. It's my problem. I'm the one who doesn't like the noise.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think as long as you kind of, because I did something and my son was feeling bad and I said, no, I know this is my issue. So I'm going to do, you know, whatever, put your shoes away. Because I know it's, you know, I wish you would put your shoes. And if you did it every now and then, that'd be great. But it's mostly like it makes me crazy. So for my own self-love, I'm going to remove these shoes from my path.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, when Brian and I first got together, he used to come in the kitchen and he'd say to me, why do you leave your coffee cup in the sink? How much harder is it just to put it in the dishwasher? And he would ask me that over and over again. And then he would say to me, how come you always leave crumbs around the toaster, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was a first-time bride at 44, so I had lived alone for a long time. And the coffee cup always eventually made it into the dishwasher, and the crumbs eventually always got cleaned up. And then one day he said to me, he goes, I figured something out. He said, you just have a blind spot when it comes to coffee cups and crumbs, and I'm the one who has the issue with it, so I'm just going to clean up after you.
That's good.
You know? And it makes it so much easier because our spouses do not wake up in the morning thinking, how can I drive CJ crazy today? What's the one thing I can do to really annoy her, right? Nobody's thinking like that, but we live as if that they wake up intentionally to make us nuts, and it's not true.
That's true. You know what I loved? The thing that I love about your book, too, is I've been applying it to my whole life. I mean, because it is something that you can apply to your whole life, right? I mean, it's even just looking at yourself. So, for example, I just got a Reiki session, which is they go and they check your energy and they figure whether certain energy channels are open or closed. And, you know, I was shut here and open here and whatever. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm broken. I need to have all my energy clear and open. Mm-hmm. And I thought, but you know what? Maybe I'm not. Like, maybe I'm not. Maybe this is part of, maybe this kind of energy closed today is part of who I am today, and maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe the little dark spots even that we see in ourselves, if we can have, you know, use wabi-sabi as a self-love principle, it works just as well, doesn't it?
Well, that's the whole point, because we are brainwashed by society to believe that we should be perfect. Our spouses and our kids and our careers and our homes and our pets should be perfect. And we know, we're mature adults, we know that perfection doesn't exist, but we live as if it does. So I actually think the word perfection needs to be changed to pure fiction, for starters. You know? Because when you adopt the wabi-sabi way of life, you can learn to love yourself just as you are. You can learn to love those around you and accept them warts and all, because that's really all we really want. We want to be loved for who we are. And we need to let go of and give up this ridiculous fantasy of perfection and embrace the beauty and the imperfection, the wabi-sabi love.
Right. Well, because in as I understand in the example that you gave of the beautiful vase, it's beautiful because it has a crack in it. It's the essence of what that vase is supposed to be is there, and it's being seen, and all the bumpy mistakes that you make up who you are, and that's beautiful, right? Because you wouldn't even be who you were if not for all the little cracks and imperfections and little dark Reiki spots or whatever.
Driftwood.
Yeah.
Like, how beautiful is driftwood, or when you know, copper turns into that green patina, you know, and really start to find the beauty in the little cracks. Like, I first learned about this 25 years ago, and the day that I was reading about wabi-sabi, I looked down at my skirt and I had this big spaghetti stain in it, and I'd been making myself wrong for being such a sloppy eater, which I am. And in that moment, I changed my whole story. And what the spaghetti stain now meant was that I had this big, big appetite for life and for food. And the stain was just proof of my enthusiasm for life.
I love that. I'm similarly a spiller. Actually, my husband, when we went on our first date, I had, and at the time this was fashionable, I had a green suede vest. I know it doesn't sound like it's fashionable, but it was. At that time, I was eating this croissant, and you know how croissants are flaky? I had them, basically, they're strewn all over my vest. And, you know, bless his heart, he said, you know, to this day, that's the thing that he loved the most about me, because one, I sat there during her lunch with these croissant crumbs all over me, till he said, you have croissant crumbs all over you? And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, but I always thought you were so, like, cool and put together. And then when those croissant crumbs were all over you, I realized that you were completely opposite. You know, like, you just, you know, that you're human, which I think is, that's the part, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, you know, because the truth is, you know, when they're gone, as you said, when your kids go to college, that's what you're going to miss. You're going to miss you had those shoes to trip over, you know, the dirty dishes in the sink, or the kids practicing their musical instruments in their bedrooms, you know. So what's annoying today will be the thing you yearn for tomorrow. So you might as well just get over it right now, since you have the choice to do it.
That's totally the right attitude, I think. I've been trying. Your book, it took your book to finally make me look at those things and see them as, oh, these piles are because he's also, you know, those piles, if he weren't my son and my husband both, if they weren't the creative, incredible, visionary people that they were, you know, it's these piles are an outcome of all the other wonderful strengths that they have, right? It's not that, like you said, that they're trying to torture me with these piles. It's just that their mind is so full of creativity that they can't put their shoes away. What can I say?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so next up, we're going to continue talking to Arielle Ford, author of Wabi Sabi Love, The Ancient Art of Finding Perfect Love in Imperfect Relationships. And make sure, folks who are in Seattle, to check out Arielle when she's at East West Bookshop on October 20th. And folks, this will be on October 25th, will be our last show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network as we transition over to YouTube. So make sure to stay connected and listening to our upcoming shows by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Thank you. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. Today we have Ariel Ford, who is the author of Wabi Sabi Love, The Ancient Art of Finding Perfect Love in Imperfect Relationships. And she is going to offer some specific ideas that you can use in your marriage or partnership to keep peace and love in your marriage. So welcome back, Ariel.
Thank you.
So right before the break, you were saying that, and this is perfect timing because we're going to have the vice presidential debates today, that you had a great story about Michelle Obama and Barack. Can you share that? We all want to know.
Well, you know, they just celebrated their 20th anniversary on October 4th.
The night of the debates, yes.
Yes, but what you probably don't know is that 10 years ago, their marriage was falling apart. Wow. And Barack was telling his grandmother that Michelle was just nagging him so much that he didn't think they were going to make it. And Michelle was telling her mother the same thing. They just didn't know if the marriage was going to survive. And, you know, part of the problem was they were drowning in debt from their Ivy League law school careers. Michelle was the big breadwinner. She had a big corporate job and the responsibility of the two young girls at home. And Barack was traveling for, you know, as a legislator all the time. And things were not going well. And one morning, Michelle woke up at 5 in the morning, and all she could think about was how much she wanted to go to the gym. She hadn't been in months. She was feeling fat and out of shape. But she was also feeling a little guilty because she knew the girls would be up soon and they would need breakfast. And she rolled over and looked at Barack, who was sleeping and snoring, and she thought to herself, you know, he was the head of the Harvard Law Review. He's a smart guy. He'll figure out how to feed him. She got out of bed and went to the gym. And while she was on the Stairmaster, she had this wabi-sabi epiphany. And she realized that she had been waiting for Barack to make her happy, but that it was really up to her to make herself happy. Mm-hmm. And so when she got home, Barack and the girls were at the kitchen table eating their cereal, and she announced to the family that there were new rules. And rule number one was she was going to take her mother up on the offer to help out with the girls and the grocery shopping and the babysitting. And rule number two was that every night that Barack was in town, they were going to eat dinner together as a family at 6:30. Rule number three was every Sunday would be family day, no exceptions. And number four, they were going to add a date night to the weekly calendar. And as we all know, they are now very happily married, and, you know, grandma's living in the White House with them. And it all came together because Michelle decided to take personal responsibility for her own happiness.
Mm-hmm. And so much of us just hope, I mean, because that's the illusion, right? We watch a movie and the person falls in love with another person and finally they're like, I'm in love. I'm happy now and you'll make me happy forever.
Yeah.
And it really is just a movie, isn't it? Because you do have to, there comes a point where at some point in your relationship, you're like, you know what, this is not what it's about. It's not about you making me happy. Only you are responsible for your own happiness. So good for Michelle. And that's a fantastic story too. Because don't you look at the president and Michelle Obama and you think they're perfect. They probably never had a moment like this.
Yeah,
right?
They're definitely soulmates. And I've done a lot of reading on both of them. And they have absolutely worked hard on their relationship.
Yeah, and it's all the things that you mentioned were her rules, right? I mean, at some point you have to recognize, one, that you're important. Your needs and what you need are important. Even though your children are important, if you're not in a good place, you really can't support your children. And you have to optimize for yourself just as much as your children. And then the one to go on date nights, because I can't even tell you as a life coach how many people I see who they end their, the kids are gone to college and they just kind of look at themselves like, what are we supposed to do now? Like, we haven't done anything to maintain our relationship, our connection at all. So, you know, congratulations to Michelle Obama to figure that out early in the relationship. We have the same four rules. Does that mean I can be president of the United States now that I have these rules?
would you really want that job?
No, I would absolutely not want that job.
That's not a good job to have.
All right, so you talk about couples wearing rose-colored glasses when it comes to seeing each other. What does that mean for you?
Well, there's a psychologist at the University of Buffalo named Dr. Sandra Murray who actually did scientific research, and she found that couples who deliberately choose to wear rose-colored glasses on how they see each other end up having more happiness and satisfaction in their relationship. And the reason for this is because they're looking for what's right and not for what's wrong. And this is also known as the Pygmalion effect, when the phenomenon in which the greater the expectation placed upon someone, the better they perform. And you and I would probably call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. So putting on the rose-colored glasses is definitely the way to go.
Okay, because as an Asian woman, the way that you're raised in this Asian is no one puts on rose-colored glasses. They put on red-colored glasses where they highlight everything that is wrong that needs to be fixed. So, I mean, and you know, I ended up being sort of okay. You know, if we all have, you know, what is the balance? So in the example of, you know, my kids are leaving stuff all over the place and, you know, at one point I trip over and break my ankle. Like, do I say, well, I still love them, and, you know, like, what's the balance?
Well, no. So you can't wabi-sabi your way out of bad behavior, abuse, or addiction. So it's not the cure-all for everything. You just don't ignore that. I mean, if what they're doing is dangerous to themselves or others, that's why you're the parent. You know, it's not okay to leave your bicycle in the driveway where you or it could be run over. And then there need to be consequences to it. But when you're interacting with somebody and it's just the little day-to-day things, you know, you can definitely have a shift in perception about how you're perceiving what's going on.
Okay, but so here's the thing. So it does bug me that I'm trying to make dinner and my son has his stuff all over the dinner. He has his homework and all his other stuff all over the table. And then we've talked about other places he could do his homework, but yet they're still there. It's still there. And I understand. Here's a wabi-sabi thing I understand. Is he's doing that because he wants to be close to me, right? And I should be happy that he wants to be close to me when he's doing everything, including his homework. But, you know, isn't there a point where it's like, but it makes me crazy. So isn't there a point where someone has to compromise too? Like every day, put your stuff on the table.
You know, I think you have to come up with a co-creative solution. So I'll give you an example. I had this conversation with Harville Hendricks and his wife. Mm-hmm. And Harville's favorite thing in the world to do is to get behind the wheel of a car at 9 in the morning and just drive, drive, drive. Mm-hmm. And his wife's favorite thing to do is to stay home and do needlepoint And if she does have to leave the house, she wants to know what time she's leaving, where she's going, and what time she'll be home. So clearly two different ways of approaching life.
Right.
And the co-creative solution they came up with is they bought an RV. That way Harville's always driving and Helen's always home.
I see. So there's like, try to find a way where both of you can win. But right. that happens. Yeah, and not everyone can buy an RV. But I get it. You're like, how can both of us win in this scenario?
Yeah, so talk to him. Like, you know, really what's underneath this need to spread out at the table while you need that space to provide dinner, you know, and you know, let him have the creative solution. Because you don't have to be yelling or griping about it. You just have to say, okay, here's how it's not useful for me, you know, and I understand, and you explain to me what you need, and let's see if we can get super creative here and come up with something that's better than anything.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Part of the process.
Okay, now one and we have a couple more minutes, but tell us about the code names that you and Brian came up with to kind of remind you.
Yeah, early on in our relationship, one day I found myself with my left hand on my left hip and my right index finger wagging in his face, and I was yelling at him about God knows what, and I suddenly stopped myself and I said, "Oh my God, how did I become that woman?" And the next time I'm doing this, and unfortunately there might be a next time, could you just kindly, gently say to me, when did Sheila enter the room? Now, Sheila's my mother, and she's adore her. I love her to death, but she can be a bit bossy and overbearing. But Brian got it instantly, and he said to me, yes, and the next time I'm a little too patronizing, you can just say to me, oh, hi, Wayne, how are you? That was his dad's name. So we quickly came up with these code names. I became Sheila. He became Wayne. And whenever we were on the verge of World War III, Brian would just whisper to me, oh, I see Sheila's here.
And that doesn't bug you? Are you like, ugh? Or are you like, oh, it kind of is like the snapback?
It was, no, because often I was unconscious of the behavior. Mm. So it was a really sweet way to say, it's time to reel it back in.
Yeah, so he doesn't say it like, why is Sheila in the room? He kind of just says it kind of quietly.
Like, oh, I see Sheila's arrived. And then I apologize, and then there's no trouble. As opposed to him getting defensive, saying, I can't believe you just said that, blah, 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 you know.
It's so such it's a clever way.
Yeah.
Clever way of diffusing a whole fight, because we're all influenced by our parental role models, right? And all of a sudden we become our mothers or fathers so quickly. And that's just I love that idea of just a little gentle reminder that your partner can kind of snap you back into consciousness. Thank you so much for all these tips. Folks, make sure to go to East West Bookshop and sign up on October 12th for RAL's class. And thank you so much. These are great tips. And thank you for writing this book. It really has been instrumental at this time in my life, so it's perfect timing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So next up, we have Sandra Ingerman, who talks about the upcoming elections and how to vote from a spiritual perspective. And again, reminder, October 25th will be our last show on Transformation Talk Radio Network, so make sure to stay connected and get a weekly subscription by going to Fired Up with CJ on iTunes and typing in Fired Up with CJ and clicking subscribe. We'll be right back. Thanks again, Ariel.
Is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRnetwork.com.